So, you know, we're driving up here, my buddy Danny. And, you know, it took us like an extra hour because, you know, we had to, we're getting older, you know, so we had to stop and pee more often. And so I stopped one time and said, Danny, you got to go. Danny, you have to go. He said, no, no, no. So, we, you know, we're driving on and he goes, fuck you, look, let's get to the hotel quick, you know, because I have to go to the bathroom. I said, Danny, when I was younger, my motto was never pass up pussy. As I'm getting older, my motto is never pass up a bathroom.
Lock eyes from across the room, down my drink while the rhythms boom. Take your hand and skip the names, no need here for the silly games. Make our way through the smoking crowd, the club is the sky and I'm on your cloud. Move in close as the lasers fly, our bodies touch and the angels cry. Leave this place, go back to yours, our lips first touch outside your doors. The whole night what we've got in store, whisper in my ear that you want some more and I jizz in my pants. This really never happens, you can take my word, I won't apologize, that's just absurd. Mainly your fault for the way that you dance, and now I jizz in my pants. Don't tell your friends or I'll say you're a slut. Plus it's your fault you were rubbing my butt. I'm very sensitive, some would say that's a plus. Now I'll go home and change.
What's up, Hootat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 1. I'm drinking a little Crown and 7 to celebrate the game and the fact that somebody else might have a number on tonight's show. And the Jekyll and Hyde season continues. I swear the only identity this team has is split personality disorder. But it sure was nice to get a win for the last home game of the season. The fans that stuck around for the fourth quarter were still loud enough to represent the Hootat Nation a lot better than last week's showing. And so Breeze did play hurt, so we were all wrong about that. No one would know that he was hurt, considering the way he performed. The Saints showed some promise for next year, maybe, especially with Streif out. And Hightower played like he wants a job. We'll talk about this and much more. Keep your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am a big fat 0. Tonight. Well, I figure you guys will keep me covered tonight.
This is weird. Jason's usually the one with a number.
Yeah, well, you know, the later start time yesterday, drank a little later yesterday, so no drinks for me today. Also got a fucking parking ticket yesterday.
Oh, so you can't drink when you have a parking ticket?
No, I can. That's just a little annoyed when I got back to the car after the game.
Well, where did you park?
Kind of where we normally park, except I got down there a little later, so there's like a little spot. It was kind of like by a corner intersection. That technically looks like a spot, but apparently you can't park
so many feet from the corner.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, you didn't know that rule?
I guess not.
Well, you do now.
Well, I parked there before and gotten away with it. I'm like, who the fuck is out doing, you know, giving out parking tickets on a game day Sunday?
That's a good time to make money.
Well, that's how you do it. All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. I'm going to say I'm a solid 2.
Hey!
A solid 2.
A solid 2 on my way down.
Oh.
Well, I quit drinking.
You're sleeping enough before the end of the show.
Right, yeah, right. Right.
I quit drinking about an hour ago. Mm. I'm up here in Kentucky on the Bourbon Trail visiting distilleries, and after every distillery, after the tour, they give you a tasting, you know, of 3 or 4 of their products, and you shoot that, and then went and had dinner and had a rum and coke, and so that's why I have a little number tonight.
All right, there you go. And with that, let's jump right into game recap. So the thing.
Yeah, the Saints won. You know, you said in the introduction, you know, hope gives us hope, but I don't, you know, did we play good or is Jacksonville just, you know, Jacksonville?
Both.
Probably a little bit of both. The Saints played really well yesterday. Other than Browner, everybody played well. Jacksonville's not bad. I was kind of surprised that they held them scoreless for so long in the game, considering how many passing touchdowns the Saints defense has given up this year. And the fact that Bortles has had a pretty decent season, that was a little surprising.
We have 2 interceptions or 3?
I think just two. I know there was the batted ball that Richardson got, and then Bro had
a great
interception.
Great interception. Like you said, the defense, you know, gave you look like what they could do. And I'm going to say this, and statistics and the eyeball test make what I'm going to say sound so ridiculous. But I really think, man, if we got healthy, you know, this defense isn't as bad as it's been all year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're still pretty bad.
I mean, you got to get rid of Browner.
You have no pass rush. And that has nothing to do with injuries.
No,
we're defensive line and linebackers. We're still lacking in those two areas.
Right,
but don't you three areas?
but don't you think if you get Keenan Lewis back, you have Bro next year, and you have Swan playing?
Look, I think our secondary is okay, but our linebackers and defensive line are not.
No, you're right, and I don't care how good your cornerbacks are, they can't cover for 15 seconds.
Right.
No, you're correct. But I really believe our cornerback position isn't the weakness that we believe it is.
Well, I don't believe that's the weakness. I think we all know what the real weakness is.
Right. Brandon Browner.
Bill Johnson.
No.
Joe Vitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It didn't hurt. I don't know if y'all watched the I got to see the Skins game because they played it Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
And Malcolm Jenkins is out there making plays.
Patrick Robinson is having a lights out season in San Diego.
Is he really?
Yeah, there's a stat that came out today, like with defensive backs with more than 500 snaps, he's given up the fewest amount of yardage against them.
So is it Rob Ryan's fault Patrick Robinson sucked?
I think it's somebody's fault. I don't know who. It's somebody's fault.
Wow.
That's just
wow. So.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, I mean, look, it's a sure sign that coaching is a problem.
Yeah, there you go. But I will say, look at the turnovers we got yesterday. Dalvin Bro gets a pick, and Bobby Richardson gets a pick, and a rumble.
Well, it was deflected. I mean,
still,
crazy deflection, but he did get it.
His awareness, he got in there and got it, and then got back up.
Yeah, it was
2 yards on the return.
Yeah,
it was a pretty fun game to watch. Interestingly enough, I actually took a picture of it. Pretty much my entire row on the right side of me, which is like 12 seats to my right, only one of them were filled yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The couple of guys on the left that usually go, they were there, but I turned to the right, and Renee didn't go, she was sick, so I turned to the right, and it was just empty all the way to the end. I mean, I can't remember the last time, or if I've ever seen my road.
You have tickets. What the fuck else are you doing Sunday at 3 o'clock?
Not going to downtown.
Go to the game. You have a ticket.
Especially since it's the last game of the year. You're not going to be back in the dome.
Right, you fucking ungrateful bastard.
I mean, look, there were a lot of them. You know, there were a lot of them.
There were a lot of empty seats. I mean,
well, good. Maybe those people can get rid of their tickets so Jason can have his influx of new season ticket holders.
I mean, it's just tough. You're playing a meaningless game, and the team has not been awe-inspiring over the course of the season.
But again, you do have the possibility that this being the last home game for some long-time Saints, hopefully not Breeze, but who knows what's going to happen? It that could be the case. So for me, like I would definitely want to be there. I don't care how bad the season's been, how not great the matchup is.
Pretty sure played like it was his last game. Like he knew it was going to be his last game.
Dude, it's amazing how well he played yesterday. On a torn, plantar fascia, he did that.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I can't. 53 and 50 by the 3 million number and all this blah blah blah. Look around the NFL, watch some of these other guys play, and then watch Drew Brees play. We don't win 7 games because we're going to be Atlanta next week without Drew Brees. We win maybe 3 games, maybe.
Maybe is right.
Maybe
that's being a little optimistic.
And I'd be an optimistic.
Yeah. It was just kind of crazy. And look, Streif didn't play. He had some kind of injury, and Pete played at right tackle and did a decent job out there.
Better than Streif.
Yep, and that's Pete's position, tackle, not guard. So hopefully that's a little preview sign of things to come next year in Beeland.
We all know that. Streif has to go. He's a liability.
You know, it was interesting. I almost bought the program to the game, which had Streif, Evans, Colston, and maybe Breeze on the cover.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
I meant to buy one, and I never got around to doing it. Like 10 years of excellence or something like that, it said. I really meant to buy one. I'm disappointed I didn't get one.
Well, I was kind of sad that Colston didn't play because I have a fear that this was his last game in the Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last Saints game in the Superdome with him on the roster.
And it's a shame because you would have liked to,
right,
for him to at least get some kind of send-off. Like, everybody kind of knows he's
right.
This is it for him.
Yeah. But
I was actually hoping he'd have done that.
Without him, the receivers that played did a really good job. I mean, granted, it's Jacksonville.
But, yeah, I mean, Cooks, you know, that pushed him to over 1,000 yards on the season, and then Snead's only, like, 50 yards away.
That's insane.
Oh, Snead is 2,000-yard receivers.
Well, that's what happens when you got a great quarterback.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think
but let's
I
get rid of him.
Yeah, I said a couple, you know, several weeks back, if y'all remember, talking to a friend of mine, talking about, you look at Green Bay, when they lost their receivers, they have struggled. We have had receivers come in and out of this organization, and when they leave, they do nothing. Because our quarterback makes these wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really does. You know, say what you want about Breeze off the field. On that field, that son of a bitch is, incredible.
Yeah, look at some of the throws he made yesterday. I mean, I forget if it was Cooks or Snead. He threw one. It was four defenders around him.
Yeah.
And he zipped right, threaded the needle. I mean, that vintage Breeze right there.
Mm-hmm. On a broken wing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the touchdown pass to Cooks.
Oh.
I mean, dropped it in the basket.
It was nice.
Yeah.
With an injured freaking plant foot.
Yeah.
Dude.
Breeze
there
has
several times where he threw balls into spots that, and like there was actually the missed touchdown to was it Josh Hill that would have had a touchdown? I think it was Josh Hill. And Breeze saw that their linebacker was on him, and they talked about this on the TV, so that's you guys may not have caught it as much, but Breeze threw it behind the tight end on purpose because it would have allowed the tight end overran the route, but he would have been able to reach back and get that touchdown if he wasn't Josh Hill.
Right. That play, he was in the end zone, correct?
Yes, in the end zone.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about, right. It was a back shoulder throw, and mm-hmm. and Josh Hill definitely
overran it.
Right. Wasn't ready for it.
Right.
No,
Breeze put it where it's supposed to go.
Right.
You could look at that and say, oh, Breeze threw it behind him. But he had to throw it behind him.
Right.
Because that's a touchdown. But that's Josh Hill's fault, not Drew Breeze's fault.
Jimmy Graham would have got that ball.
it was interesting.
We'll cut Jimmy.
It was interesting how much action Cadet got, and you know, the morning came and the reports came out. CJ Spiller, a healthy inactive, and you're like, wow,
mm-hmm.
That's what it's come to for him. And Cadet, who we just signed off the street this week, comes in and has a pretty big game.
Well, but Cadet's been kind of a saint.
I mean, I know he's been around. He basically knows the offense, but still bringing a guy off the street like that, and for him to have the impact that he had. You know,
again, I've been on the road, so I didn't see that. Spiller was a healthy and active.
Yeah. Now today, Peyton mentioned that, well, his knee doesn't have the strength that we feel it needs to have. Like, he wasn't hurt, but he said he just didn't have strength in his knee, still lingering from the off season.
Not a healthy and active
surgery. He had. That's according to Peyton.
Yeah, Peyton's telling the same amount of truth as Bill Belichick was telling. about the overtime coin toss decision to kick.
So anyway, so it's just crazy to, you know, another stain on Spiller's season here.
Yeah, screw him. all right, so anybody else worth talking about? Any other plays worth talking about? Anything left in game recap, or we want to move on?
Brandon Browner got absolutely torched. I think he gave up like 6 of 7 for like 100 and something yards and 2 touchdowns against him.
Well, that's because he couldn't commit penalties. That's what happens when he plays fair.
But I mean,
the team in tackles.
But I mean, other than that,
4 yards on the field. I mean, great.
I mean, Forbath missed a couple kicks.
Yeah, one was blocked.
I mean, yeah. Other than that, I mean, I don't. No, I mean, Vaccaro had 2 sacks.
Oh yeah.
Nothing else that really stands out, I don't think. It was fun. You know, fun game. We had the lead the whole way.
Crowd sounded into it.
Crowd was into it.
The people that were there were definitely into it. And definitely loud.
Yeah.
made more noise
than the crowd last week.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it was some diehard. You had your diehard there Sunday. You had your true fans there Sunday. Sure.
Yeah. Now, did they do any pregame activity? That was last week. We didn't even talk about the Ring of Honor, huh?
Oh yeah, Morton Anderson. Yeah, in halftime. Yeah, we totally botched that last week.
Right.
No, I mean nothing. I was actually kind of hoping Colston would have did the Houdat chant, since it's probably his last game. But it was Austin Johnson, the fullback, 35, I think. Austin Johnson.
Right. Yeah.
So that was a little disappointing. Nothing out of the ordinary. It's a normal game.
All right. Well, let's move on to headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
All right. So for those of you who don't know, our favorite, and I use this term lightly, journalist, Jeff Duncan. Right. Was this the front page Times Picayune piece?
The story was on the front page of the entire paper.
The front page of the entire paper.
Yeah.
Some article about why Tom Benson should sell the Saints and the Pelicans.
I thought you were going to say the Packers.
The Saints and the Pelicans. To do what's best for the city?
Right. According to Jeff Duncan, the idiot.
I mean, is this guy trying to become the most hated man in New Orleans?
Well, he was basically just trolling Saints fans, because I know he's kind of a reaction and what kind of attention that article's going to get.
Why would he even write that?
That's why, because people are going to get pissed and
like
the
are,
outrage and clicks. It's all about clicks.
So Tom Benson comes out yesterday after the game with a press conference and statement. Pretty much putting Jeff Duncan, the Times-Picayune, in their place, saying, I would not usually respond to something in the media, but this is special.
Well, do you want to read the statement? It wasn't that long.
Well, I don't have it pulled up to read it, but...
It mentioned it, and this is ironic coming from the Times-Picayune, where Benson went to the family a few years ago and mentioned, hey, why don't you sell to me or some other local... As the paper was heading towards not being an everyday paper, which it now is. and they've subsequently just fired a bunch of staff and relocated their headquarters to Alabama.
Right. So an Alabama headquartered place is running the news for New Orleans paper.
It was just interesting to see him respond and put the smack down. And even Breeze mentioned something in his post game about enjoying playing for this team under Benson's ownership, specifically looking at Duncan in the postgame press conference. So
yeah, and Benson in the press conference, and to paraphrase, said, "I am not selling the team."
Right? Would you like me to read?
You can read. I mean, it's a couple paragraphs. I mean, the gist of it is he ain't selling.
Right.
It's not who he is. It's gonna go to Gale. Nothing's gonna stop it from going to Gale. And he's interested in what's best for the city, which means keeping it locally owned in making sure that he invests. And he also mentioned wanting to invest in hospitals for the city as well.
Right. I mean, you know, you definitely hit Benson's, you know, points about it. But I think the first paragraph kind of what put Duncan, you know, really was a shot at Duncan. Statement from New Orleans Saints owner Tom Benson. I rarely respond to preposterous media reports as I understand them as part of our business. Many are rarely based in fact, as is the case with the opening letter to me from the Times-Picayune, imploring me to sell our team for the benefit of the city. The letter is fraught with inaccuracies, especially as they pertain to our partnership with the state of Louisiana or the structure of our organization. To be clear, the state of Louisiana has not paid the New Orleans Saints a nickel in inducement payments since 2009. And never since I purchased the then Hornets in 2012. In fact, I have most recently committed $25 million in upgrades towards the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and millions more towards the Smoothie King Arena. That's, Jeff, you covered everything else in the statement.
Well, and look, I'm not defending Duncan here, but the Saints, they're not getting inducement payments from the state, but as part of the agreement, and of him buying Benson Tower, like he leases office, you know, back to the state. So it's not a direct payment like it used to be. But,
right.
You know, there is still.
All right, but either way, none of that has to do with him needing to sell the team for the benefit of the city.
Well, the problem with this argument is there's nobody in Louisiana that's even wealthy enough to buy the team.
Right. And quite honestly, Mr. Benson isn't wealthy enough to buy the team.
Right.
Without the team.
No, look, I didn't click on the article because I'm not going to give him any kind of
Duncan
any kind of my
about, not
yeah
the
right
Benson
right Duncan.
If y'all
want to
read the
give...
whole, if our listeners want to read the whole Benson statement, I'm pretty sure you can go on to NewOrleansSaints.com and find it.
Yeah, it's in the app. Yeah.
And Duncan mentioned, you know, people getting together like ownership groups. Getting together, but there's no single individual that would be local here. I mean, if somebody bought it, if he sold it and somebody bought it, it would likely be somebody from Texas.
Still, why? Why?
Just trolling Saints fans. Well, because he have the ownership drama and maybe it's causing issues, you know, in the front office or with the team because it's kind of like a distraction.
Well, now that's something you did text at one point about yesterday, Jason. About the management and the organization of this club is kind of in disarray right now, in your opinion, right?
It would kind of seem that way, and then with all these other reports that were coming out yesterday morning, now look, there, you know, these reports have been coming out all year, but when you start to hear things like people in the organization are still miffed at Breeze for maximizing his contract and complaining, you know, they thought our depth was lacking because of that, ignoring the fact that it's been all these shitty drafts and free agent deals outside of Breeze that are the reason for all this. But when you hear this, as much as I may dislike all these national writers, it's hard for me to think that they just made this stuff up. There's got to be some information coming from somewhere. So why is this stuff getting leaked? Like, that's the sign of a poor organization.
Yeah.
So it's just. More just, man, like maybe we don't, you know, maybe things are really screwed up over there. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the building. I still believe that Peyton and Breeze will both be back. You know, that's just me. I mean, we'll see what happens, but it's.
Peyton even came out during the week, last week, saying, you know, he sees himself coaching here many years in the future.
Well, but I mean, you can't always believe what he says, though.
And that's a very carefully worded statement.
It's not like because he said it, it's fact.
He said exactly what needs to be said right now. I see myself coaching here. Well, you know, I see a lot of things happening, but it doesn't mean that they really are going to happen.
He
saw himself coaching for LSU before he left to go to Miami.
It's just, I mean, you know, you're going to hear these reports are going to keep coming until something is actually determined when the offseason hits.
But with Peyton, he's under contract for the next 2 years. He can't go anywhere. He can't leave even if he wants to. He can retire and go work for the network, but he can't go coach anywhere else.
Unless we as an organization allowed him to leave.
Right, unless the Saints decided they wanted him to go, which I don't see happening.
Now, someone on WWL Radio said something to the fact that if the Saints traded him or got rid of him somehow, that it would free up space on their salary cap.
No, no, that might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right, well, somebody on WWL Radio said that.
Well, do you believe everybody on WWL Radio?
No, I don't believe everybody on WWL Radio.
.com.
But I just wanted to point out that WWL Radio, somebody on that station tried to make the case that a coach's salary would free up cap space.
Well, that's
well. Then name who that person is and never listen to them because they're idiots.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I'm sure it was someone. Deek, or I don't know.
Oh, well, probably was Deek because he's a fucking retard.
Right.
No offense to all the retards out there.
Oh my god. Shut the fuck up, Leslie.
Oh jeez.
No, So if the Saints were to trade, or how can the Saints allow Peyton to go and be out of paying him?
We would basically trade him to whatever team
for draft picks or something.
Yeah. That's it.
Right.
I mean, that's what Oakland did with Gruden when they traded him to Tampa.
The Jets did the same thing with Herm Edwards in Kansas City. I mean, it's happened before. It's not a.
And the coach doesn't have a choice in where he goes.
No, undoubtedly the coach has a choice.
Right. He if he really wants to leave, he finds a spot, and then they work out a deal.
Gotcha.
And then, of course, one of the reports said, oh, San Diego, a good landing spot, because his daughter goes to college there. Like,
they've mentioned him everywhere from Miami.
Indianapolis, San Diego.
That's right.
New York, the Giants.
Right.
Dallas.
Well, I would say this. If he is willing to fire Bill Johnson and remove Joe Vitt from being linebacker's coach and make a few of these assistant coaches changes that need to be made, whoever's coaching the offensive line, stop.
Greg McMahon.
If he's willing to make those changes, then I'd like to see him stick around. But if he's going to stick to these guys, then I think he's proven that he's stuck in his own bubble. And that's just as dangerous. It doesn't matter how good of a coach he is. When you have somebody stuck in their bubble, they're detrimental to the organization. And then that's when thanks for what you've done, you know, like we've said, that's not part ways on bad terms, but we obviously have a difference of opinion.
Organization. You could say that about a bunch of coaches being stuck in their bubble, you know?
Sure.
Jim Mora, you know, who was with us and then Indianapolis, that cost him.
Yeah. It never works when you're stuck in your bubble.
You know, that's one of the things with Belichick. I can't say that I remember him firing guys, but his guys come and go. I mean, you know.
Right, because they're good assistants and other teams want them. And then when it doesn't work out for these other teams, he takes some of these guys back. I mean, he took back Josh McDaniels after he failed in Denver.
We took back Dennis Allen.
Right.
We did.
The coaching fraternity is very small. So most coaches are very loyal to their assistants. And they might find places for them to move on, you know, Belichick. But very rarely do you see, you know, people getting fired. I mean, you see people getting fired in Dallas. Like Rob Ryan got fired in Dallas.
And here.
Rob Ryan gets fired everywhere he goes.
Well, right. But you look at Rob Ryan. He wasn't Dallas's coach. I can't think of the name. The redhead.
It's Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett. Rob Ryan wasn't Jason Garrett's boy, and Rob Ryan wasn't Sean Payton's boy. You know, I mean, so they got fired. But Joe Vitt is, Greg McMahon is. That's his boys. He ain't going to fire his boys.
Well, that's a problem.
It is, but get used to it. That is not going to happen.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It would be, but yeah. Maybe there can be some shakeup, bring some, you know, new guys back. Hey, look, Curtis Johnson's looking for a job next year.
Yeah.
Head coach Tulane with our wide receivers coach.
Yeah, I mean, he might bring him back, but our receivers really aren't that big of an issue. He's not as needed as some of these other guys. So, but this is just something that we're going to hear it every week until it gets resolved. Hopefully sooner rather than later. And I think with Breeze, part of his like part of his salary is gets guaranteed on like a couple days. I mean, it's pretty soon. I think it's sometime in February. So a decision is going to have to be made quickly on what they're going to do with him. Hopefully, stick around. I don't want to see him go anywhere.
I think they're prepared to pay him the $30 million.
Even if it's not, $20 million a year, I think would be fine.
Well, you do. I'm not sure if Drew Brees agrees with that.
I'd even go up to 25. I mean, you know, the 30 number is just because of the actual cap number, but actual, you know, salary per year and whatnot. He's worth up to 25 at least. So we'll see what he is willing to take.
All right. Ready for moving on?
Sure.
All right. I was going to say NFL reach around, but it's not worth it to talk about Belichick and that coin toss. Who gives a shit?
Well, what about Damon's boy Peyton Manning and the HGH?
Oh, that's right. Okay. So, yeah, let's. All right. So let's do NFL reach around. All right, so we have two quick ones, or one quick one and one that Damon's going to expand on. The one quick one was, do you believe that Belichick wanted to kick that ball after the overtime toss? And for those of you who don't know, it was the Patriots-Jets game, overtime coin toss. Patriots won the toss and elected to kick when Belichick was asked about it. And because they elected to kick, they kicked it to the Jets. Jets scored a touchdown, won the game. Patriots never touched the ball. After the game, they asked Belichick, why did that player make that decision to kick, and Belichick, he was doing what he was told to do. Like, Belichick backed up the player.
I mean, I can't believe that. I just can't. With these new overtime rules, it doesn't make any sense for you not to take the ball if you win the toss.
I agree.
I mean, if you think your defense can stop him and all you need is a field goal, maybe, but to me, I think every time you have to take the ball. So, look, even the best coaches make mistakes.
Well, I don't think it was a coach mistake. I think a player.
Well, somebody botched something.
Right.
Well, and if the player did botch it and Belichick backed him up, I mean,
sticking up for his
guy. Right,
sticking
up for the player. That's not a bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. All right. All right. The next story is the big one. So earlier in the week, an article comes out.
It wasn't early. It was like Sunday morning.
It was Saturday evening. Right?
Or Saturday evening.
Yeah, okay. Saturday evening, an article comes out pretty much linking Peyton Manning to an HGH scandal.
And other players were listed also.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning's the headliner here. And his wife to receiving and taking HGH. What was it, in 2012 or so?
Either 11 or 12, yeah, when his... getting his neck, you know, recovery from his neck operation.
He sure did recover. So the next morning comes out, the person who was cited as the source recanted the whole Manning involvement.
But I mean, it was recanted after, you know, Peyton did an interview and completely deny, totally false. Blah blah. All the NFL media coming to Peyton's aid, back defended him, saying he would never do that.
Right. Well, and also look, I mean, Jeff, you kind of glossed over where the report came from.
Al Jazeera.
Right. Okay. I mean, you know, this is an organization that had Baghdadi Bob as a fucking correspondent. I know he wasn't an official correspondent, but you know. But look, I mean, this sounds to me like a gotcha piece, trying to make headlines, trying to smear one of the most
respected
and cleanest families in person in football. You know, never had a scandal, you know, did everything right. Now, look, I think if you play with Peyton Manning, I think he's a fucking I think he's an asshole, you know. You know, I think he's very cocky, but he can't back it up. Well, he could at least, you know.
Could, yeah, maybe not so much.
At least up until February, he can't.
Right, you know, but I mean, to me, you know, yeah, there's no doubt, look, I think especially being from New Orleans, you look at the Manning family, from Archie to Eli to Peyton to Brother Cooper, who they have. You have to mention Cooper if you mention the other three. It's a law.
Only you do.
No. Anytime the network do the same thing. But anyway, here's a family of high moral standards, and they've always seemed to meet it. So I would definitely take this report with a heavy grain of salt, and definitely believe Manning before I would Al Jazeera. And the person who, like you said, who they got the comments from or the statements, he even said that he would record it without his knowledge.
What does that have to do with anything? Recorded it without his knowledge or with his knowledge.
I don't know, but I'm just telling you his statements. And this guy who they're getting their story from, has said it's totally bullshit.
I mean, I would tend to believe Peyton, but we've seen it before. How many times athletes are always going to deny?
Roger Clemens was a...
Lance Armstrong was the holiest to now athletes. Nope, he did it too. Look, I'm not saying Peyton did it, but I'm not going to automatically believe him when he denies it just because I've seen countless athletes deny it only to be found out later that they did it.
You bring up Roger Clemens, but he was exonerated by a federal court.
Well, he still did it. I mean, come on. He denied, but he still did it. They all did it.
Jason, that's it. We just made Jason the judge, jury, and executioner. Well, then, Jason, you tell me if Peyton Manning is guilty or not in the long run.
I tend to believe him, but it's not I don't automatically just believe him because he's from a holier than thou great family, blah blah.
Well, no, holier than thou is a that's a negative statement. Holier than thou, that's someone they're not holier than thou.
Well, all right. So the question is HGH illegal?
It's on the banned substances list, but they don't test it. That was one of the things that the players specifically fought for,
right,
in the lockout, is to not have HGH testing.
Okay. Which means whether it's on the ban list or not, if it's not being tested for, who gives a shit? It's not banned. Well, so whether he took it or not, does it really matter?
I don't care who. They can take HGH all they want. I don't care. Taking HGH to help somebody recover from an injury is a lot better than getting hooked on a bunch of pain pills or other kind of pills as they're recovering.
Right. I mean, I guess to me that's the whole thing is if this is what Peyton Manning's being accused of, that's not a terrible thing. It's not like he deflated footballs.
Oh God.
No.
Or set up a bounty system to injure players.
I mean, again, you're...
Well, there's no future lawsuit against the NFL regarding HGH, so...
Aha.
Either way, it's just interesting the whole hubbub.
Yeah. But I think I'm in that same kind of camp. Like I'm not making a swift judgment to say whether I believe he did it or didn't do it. Simply just because the article came out, it's not going to make me automatically believe that he did it. And just because he said he didn't, it's not going to make me automatically believe that he didn't.
Look, like you were trying to say, look, it's not like he was recovering from an injury. It's not like he was Barry Bonds, who obviously did the enhancements for just pure performance reasons. And if he did do it, they said he did it during the 2012 season that he didn't play. HGH is not banned in the United States. It's not heroin.
Right.
No, right.
I mean, a doctor can prescribe it for you. So technically, I'm not sure. I didn't read the Al Jazeera article. But yeah, I guess if he did it in 2012, during the injury, when he wasn't playing in the NFL, he didn't break any rules.
Right.
He didn't.
That's kind of where I was going with the whole, is it such a bad thing if he took it?
Right. I mean, so even if it comes out, he did take it, well, I was recovered from an injury. It's not legal, it's not illegal in the United States to be prescribed by a doctor. And I wasn't in the NFL. I didn't play in 2012.
Right. Which could be where he's able to say, I did not, when he says I didn't do it, or that statement.
Well, no, he's saying they never even got, because technically I think they were, the initial report said they were, shipped to his wife or something.
Right, under her name. Yeah. Well, they said, well, we didn't want to put Peyton Manning's name in it, so we put his wife, I think it's Ashley or whatever. Okay. Ashley. Well, holy shit. I mean, you really that much of a Manning? I mean, anyone in America who hears the name Manning automatically thinks of Peyton Manning. Or either Nick Manning, the porn star. That's what Jeff thinks of.
My goodness.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do. Don't lie, Jeff.
The fact that you brought it up.
Well, those videos you showed me.
Oh, okay. All right, we're going to move on to...
Oh, now you're moving on. You see, yeah. You don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
You got something to hide?
All right, we're moving on to...
There you go. Keep moving. Go
pick
ahead.
Pick them.
Nothing to see here.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game. And how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your dad. If you can.
All right, well, Pick'ems wasn't quite the week that we had last week, but it was still good nonetheless. Damon and I both went 3-2. Jeff, you went 2-3. We all had Washington. We all had Arizona. Those were winners. We all had New England, and we all had Miami. Those were losers. And then Damon and I had Detroit, and you had San Francisco in that matchup.
That's right. And the extended forecast was very similar. Every single person picked New England and Miami, so grabbed losses there. But overall, we're looking at top position is occupied by Alex Barbie and Damon, tied with 44 wins. I'm sorry, no, that second place, because Hungry Hoodat with 47 wins. Then you got Jason with 43, me and Dad the Twins with 41s, 40 for Wheels, 39 for Neil, 35 for Glenn, and 27 for Mr. Sizzapo.
All right, so moving on, not a great slate of games, as is tradition, but we got a couple interesting ones. Our first game, a battle for the NFC North crown, the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. Minnesota coming off a pretty big win on Sunday night. Green Bay coming off, they got absolutely destroyed by the Cardinals last week. Offense didn't do much of anything. So this game is in Green Bay. I believe it got flexed to Sunday night. And Green Bay is favored by a field goal.
In Green Bay.
In Green Bay.
I mean, I don't know why I'm going to do this. But I'll take Green Bay.
I will also take Green Bay.
You know what? I'm going to take Minnesota on this one. And Green Bay, not that good.
Huh.
Not that good.
10-5.
I mean, they're good, but I think they get a little more respect than they actually have earned.
Well, Arizona didn't show them any respect, so.
Well, Arizona's a much better team.
Yeah.
All right.
And Minnesota isn't Arizona. Go ahead.
Well, no, they're not, but Minnesota's still good. All right. Seattle at Arizona. Seattle.
Ooh. Arizona.
I think Arizona still has something to play for because Carolina finally lost this week. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see the starters there. This game is in Arizona, and they're favored by 4.5.
So, yeah, I mean, is there a way if they finish with the same record as Carolina that they'll get the number one spot?
I guess it's possible. I mean, I don't know all the...
Well, because that is going to dictate whether or not they show up to play or not. I mean, Seattle made the playoffs, too, so I don't see
right.
them coming in hardcore. There's no way they can get a better position than Minnesota. Or
I mean, they're going to be a wild card either way. I mean, you know, they can't win the division.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Arizona.
All right, I'm also going to go with Arizona.
Yep, make that a sweep, Arizona.
All right, our next game, a game with shitty division teams, the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans. Jacksonville, of course, coming off the loss to the Saints. Houston coming off an impressive win against Tennessee. It looks like Houston's going to win this division, or they may have actually already clinched this division. They're sitting at 8-7. This game is in Houston, and the Texans are favored by 6.
The Houston Texans.
I don't know. I think Brian Hoyer is still going through the concussion protocol, so I don't think he's been cleared yet. So I think it might be T.J. Yates again. I'm tempted to take Jacksonville, but no, I'm going to stick with Houston. You know what? Screw it. I'll go Jacksonville. Why not?
Ooh.
Jeff, stop scratching your nuts.
That's not me.
All right.
And I will take Houston.
Well, Jeff, you need to make up some ground here. I mean,
I'm taking who I'm taking.
All right. Next game. Game of two non-playoff teams, but it's a rivalry game. Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears. Detroit coming off a pretty easy win against the 49ers this week, and the Bears coming off a win down in Tampa. Tampa's really hit the skids. This game is in Chicago, and the Bears are favored by a point.
In Chicago, Bears favored by one.
I'll take Detroit.
Damn it, Damon.
I'll take Detroit also.
I also will take Detroit.
All right, in our shitty game of...
I would have taken Detroit first.
No, you wouldn't, Jeff. Stop lying.
All right.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go! Of shit card. I got a piece of shit card.
Big time shit game here in the shit division. God, we actually have two games
with
the worst
South?
Division in football, AFC South. The Tennessee Titans, who are on track to get the number one overall pick in the draft this year, coming off an absolute thumping by Houston last week, at the Indianapolis Colts, who surprised the Dolphins down in Miami. This game is in Indianapolis, and the Colts are favored by 6.
Colts are favored by 6.
That's a lot of points.
Now, Hasselbeck didn't finish that game, and Charlie Whitehurst had to come in for Indy, but I heard, I think today, they put Whitehurst on IR for the rest of the season, so I don't know if maybe Hasselbeck's going to be back or if it's going to be somebody else. I don't know. I know it won't be Andrew Luck.
It won't be Whitehurst.
It won't be Whitehurst.
All right, I'll go first. I'm going to take the Colts.
I'll go with Jeff this time with the Colts.
Ooh, man. Yeah, I think I got to go with the Colts, too. I mean, Tennessee's awful.
What's new?
All right, and there's your pick'ems.
Alrighty, that's going to take us to game preview. Atlanta for the last game of the year, and what's going to happen? Which Saints team's going to show up?
I'd like to think the good one. It is Atlanta.
Right. It is Atlanta. I think this, you know, this Saints team, Drew, Sean Payton, really put a lot of emphasis on this game against Atlanta. We didn't talk about it. We mentioned it, we didn't talk about it. You know, Atlanta ending Carolina streak. While I hate to see Atlanta fans have any sort of joy, the misery it caused Carolina fans was kind of fun. you know.
Yeah.
You know. So I think we could really, it could really end the season out perfect for me. Saints win the last two games. Carolina got their perfect season destroyed, and they're losing the playoffs. And then if we go ahead and beat Atlanta and sweep them for the year and let them lose their last game, that will hurt them. So, I mean, the season, while shitty, could at least have, you know, make me smile a little bit right here toward the last game.
Yeah, just sweeping Atlanta alone.
Right. Sweeping Atlanta, putting us to 7-9. And I'm, look, 7-9 is a Midland team. If you're 7-9, you got to figure, man, you don't really have to change that much to be a contender for the playoff next year, right?
I mean, like we said, add some more draft picks in here. Hopefully, change some assistant coaches, right. And don't let Breeze walk out the door.
Right, get a linebacker.
Yeah, get a linebacker. Get some defensive line. I mean, we're not, you know, especially in the NFL. You know, you're never that far away. Unless you're the Cleveland Browns.
And, well, you're never that far away if you have a top five quarterback that we do have. That's the thing. You look at teams, like you said, Cleveland. They don't have a chance because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
So, but if we're talking about Atlanta, you know, we hate the Atlanta Falcons.
I want to see their fans have as much misery as possible.
Exactly. And us sweeping them will... And which will also cause them to have a losing record, or I think they'll break even. They'll be 8-8.
Yeah, they'll be 8-8. Yeah.
After starting 5-0, which means they win. Which meant they went 3-11. You know, 3-8 in the last 11 games.
Ugh. I still love the fact that we set them on this path of despair.
Right. You know, at least it's the last game of the year, and we're still interested in the game, and we're going to want to watch it.
I mean, I'm still gonna. You know, obviously, I'm still going to watch it. I mean, I think even though the season's been a wasted season, if fans here hate Atlanta with such a passion, they're still going to want to, you know, the Saints to destroy Atlanta. Oh, I hope, I can't wait to.
Does Atlanta coming off this high win over Carolina, is this a trap game for them, right? Or
it's the last game of the season. I mean, they're playing, you know, a trap game. Just look, I'm sure. They probably want to beat us just as bad as we want to beat them.
Well, it does seem that this coach, Quinn, he really doesn't understand this rivalry yet.
Oh, he's about to find out.
Yeah, with Sean Payton, you know, beat him the last game, and he will understand the rivalry next year.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, I'm assuming Breeze played this week. He's going to play again next week. You know, Atlanta doesn't really have a good pass rush, so we should be able to kind of pick them apart and hope that Bro shuts down Julio, and the Saints should be fine.
Let's not hope. Let's not get our hopes too high.
Hey, Delvin Bro's been playing.
Oh, Bro, you said Bro. I'm sorry, you said Bro.
Yeah, I said Bro, not Browner. Come on. I may say some stupid things. Not that stupid.
We'll leave that for Jeff.
Yeah. Huh? Exactly. So, and I guess we'll see. You know, Hightower is going to get the load again after having such a good week, having such a good game this week. Just give him the ball, control the game, and just kind of, you know, play the same type of game as this week.
Turnover free by the offense, opportunistic by the defense, and just play smart. And
that's it.
And Matty Hitpants, you know, has not. But, had...
Yeah, like, he's going to make mistakes. I mean, I think they've got. I want to say he's got like 5 red zone interceptions this year. So somehow make him, like, he'll find a way to blow it. We'll be there to catch him when he falls.
All right. Score prediction?
I'm going to go Saints 38, Falcons 17.
I'll go Saints 35, Falcons 24.
All right. I'll go Saints 31, Falcons 28.
Ooh, close one.
Mm-hmm. Usually is, and our defense is not great.
No, it's not. But it's Atlanta. I like to see us.
Yeah.
You know, finish the season on a strong note. Just take it to them.
All right. With that, we'll do final thoughts, Jason.
Final thoughts. Again, we forgot to mention it last week, but Morton Anderson goes into the Ring of Honor. So that's nice to see. Hopefully the next stop for him is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which I believe he deserves to be in. So that was, it's nice to see another name up there, and we're still, I think I've got three more years of, as long as Bobby doesn't make it in, Damon's going to owe me that steak. You got three more years, Damon.
I hear you.
All right, final thoughts, Damon.
I have two final thoughts.
All right.
First, I'd like to say there was a passing of a great Saints fan this week, Mr. Jay Romig, who was the announcer in the Superdome for, I believe, 44 years?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, every year that the Saints, he was the only announcer in the Superdome up until 2 years ago when his son took over. You know, he, if you've ever been to the Dome, we all know his call over the PA system, you know, it's good, and touchdown, Saints, you know. So,
first down, Saints.
Right, you know, so, you know, he passed away this week, and just want to pay a little respect to him after losing, you know.
He's a legend.
Yeah, here. No doubt.
Voice of the Saints.
100%. And
in
then,
the Dome.
In the Dome. And then the second final thought, I was watching the NFL Network Sunday morning.
Sorry.
Yeah. And to be brief, they were previewing the Cardinals-Green Bay game. They were showing highlights from their past matchups. They were showing the highlight from the 2009 wild card game where the Cardinals won, beat Green Bay. And Rich Eisen says, as he's passing, you know, the segment on to Kurt Warner, because Kurt Warner was the quarterback of that team. He goes, and the Cardinals beat Green Bay, and then they went to New Orleans the next week, and we know what was going on there.
As if to suggest bounty.
Right, the bounty game. And just, you know, Rich Eisen, I mean, he's a bubblehead, you know. He's a TV anchor, and all TV anchors are bubbleheads, we know this.
And he's a show for his league, you know.
Right. But now we know why, ladies and gentlemen. On Thursday nights when the Saints win, it is customary for the winning team to send players out to speak to NFL Network. Sean Payton and the Saints do not do that. And now we know why.
Have not done that since.
Right. Right, haven't done it since 12. And so don't ask, you know, don't ask why we don't do it anymore, because
they still perpetuate the fallacy.
The myth, right.
That is Bounty Gate. Why are nearly every other journalist and sane-minded person has come to the conclusion that it was hubbub-up.
Well, now, I mean, at first, everybody was stuck on the NFL's cock.
But it's not. But we're in now. And Jeff is correct. And saying, you know, a lot of reporters have
turned the coin. Yeah, I agree.
Right. But Rich Eisen is still, you know.
And there was no need to even mention that. It had nothing to do. They're talking about the Green Bay, Arizona game.
Correct.
And he takes an opportunity to take a jab at a team. Wow.
Yeah, look, fuck the NFL and their network. That's
fuck you, Rich Eisen. You just made the list.
Oh, there's a list?
Yeah, people who should be fucked with a bat with razor blades.
Oh, okay.
Fucked in the ass. All right, that was your two final thoughts, right, Damon?
That is correct.
All right, so with that, it's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Superdome donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Perfectly sad, if rap was a bad by the side, so I thought I'd come out with a shot. Super dumb lyrics make you think I'm a clown. I don't give a fuck, it's time to throw down. Yeah, stop.
for the bullshit.